entering an amazing era on planet Earth. It's a new era that we're entering into. It's like no man has been there before. Nobody has been into the future and been there, but we are touching the future. And what's it going to be like? It's going to be interesting. Can I just, I want to explain some things. I really have got some notes. I could go all over the place because I just want to describe to you what I'm sensing in my heart. I believe that God is wanting to empower the church, not only this church, our own church, churches like us across the nation, so the church begins to step up to be everything that it's called to be in this era. At the start of the year, when we had the summit in Sale, we spoke about it's not only a new season, but it is a new era. And if you look at it like this, Australia has been through eras in its development. There was the pioneering stage, where the stages where we went to war, and then there was, at the end of the war, it's like we not only moved into a new season, but we moved into a new era, where the nation was being built. And, you know, people my age, I believe we've lived through a wonderful era of nation building, where Australia became a wonderful nation, a flourishing nation. But in the spirit, I believe now, the church is going to rise in the days ahead, and it's going to do its role in a new era. And it is like a post-war era. Who knows we're at war? We are. But there is going to come also a post-war era where the church begins to step up and to rebuild the nation. Do you know that the philosophies of man are sending the nation to its knees? The party that you voted for and put there, the philosophies that they are implementing is bringing our nation to the knees. But God has always has an answer, and it is those who are able to access the grace, not only for a season, but for a new era. Is this right? So we talked on Friday night how God raised up Noah, how a man found grace. Noah found grace, he found favor, and God enabled him to build an ark. And this is a prophetic picture of the future, because God is going to raise up builders, nation builders, an alliance of men and women who are going to build the nation. Isn't this exciting? I'm a nation builder. When I found my partner in destiny here, I found a fellow nation builder. And together, men and women like us and others that are like us who are out there looking and thinking, what is the answer, are going to come and build. Amen. And Australia is going to become everything that it was called to be. Amen. The great Southland of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you know, a little while ago, the Lord spoke to me and he said, Brian, you stir revival in the church and I will bring an awakening in the land. It made so much sense to me. Brian, you bring in a revival in the church and I will bring an awakening in the land. Yeah. It's not my job to awaken the land. It's my job to stir revival amongst those that are in my company. And we're stirring revival. Our church is up at 6:30 every morning, gathering together and praying. And we're praying for you. And I know you pray for us. My friend came and told me, he said, I pray for you every day. Thank you. You don't know how much I need it. Oh, Jesus, I thank you. Do you want to just stand for a moment? Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for this amazing, amazing time to be alive on planet Earth. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that this is not the worst time to be on planet Earth. Father, this is the greatest time to be on planet Earth. Lord God, where your sons and daughters are going to rise, churches are going to rise, new ministries are going to rise, prophets are going to arise, apostles are going to rise, teachers, evangelists, pastors, Oh, worshippers, business people, politicians, leaders in every domain are going to be released to rebuild, to rebuild. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that on the inside of us you're putting a pattern.
Yes.
You're putting a word.
Yes.
You're putting your spirit.
Yes.
You're putting your nature. You're putting your likeness, Lord God, so that we can do what we are called to be. Just raise your hands for a moment. Just say this, Father, I open my heart. Lord God, to hear from you this morning. To receive from you this morning. And to be prepared for a new era of nation building. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please take a seat. It's really good to see you this morning and it's great to be here. I want you to open to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And just what we were talking about on Friday night, we spoke about the apostolic grace, how in the Scripture there are different kinds of grace. Firstly, there is saving grace. If you look at it in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we are saved by grace through faith, and this is not of our own doing, it's a gift from God. This is saving grace. And saving grace is you have access to saving grace when you hear the gospel and God puts on the inside of you the heart to respond. That is the grace of God. That is amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. This is saving grace. In Ephesians chapter 3, and as we read on, we begin to see another type of grace. Because Paul the Apostle, he calls himself an apostle by the grace of God, or the will of God. In other words, the grace upon Paul's life was different to the grace that was on the life of the ordinary believer. So what God does is God begins to raise men, or women, or groups of people, and he releases a grace upon them so that they can complete a certain assignment. Say that, a certain assignment.
A certain assignment.
Do you know what? This church has a certain assignment.
Yeah.
You know, this is a certain place. In Genesis chapter 26, God brought Jacob to a place called Haran. There was nothing much at Haran. There was nothing there. But this is a certain place, and there God began a process in the man Jacob. And he brought that man to a certain place. But see, God uses certain places, certain people, at certain times to complete a certain assignment. And I want you to know that this church is not like the church down the road.
No.
Say amen to that. It's not meant to be, because, you know, every individual person called by God has a slightly different assignment. It's a unique assignment, and we need to be able to receive. But there are certain things that are common to all of us. And this morning, I want to help you with this. I want you to help you to see something, because what God is going to do in the next few years is going to blow your mind. And this is why Pastor has been talking about your mind. Because your mind needs to be blown.
Yes.
You know, our mind has been trained by the world, educated by the world. We've got all sorts of limitations in our thinking. All sorts of boundaries that were not placed there by God. They were placed there by man. All sorts of philosophies. All sorts of doctrines. Say that, doctrines. This morning we might remove some doctrines and replace them. You know, our doctrine needs to change. It says in Acts chapter 2 that that they gathered daily, they broke bread, they fellowshiped together and they gathered around the apostles' doctrine. Do you know why? Because the mind can stop you. Your mind can be your worst enemy. Your mind can be your best friend. It can be your ally. It can keep you out of the will of God. It can keep you away from the love of God. It can stop you from being healed. It can stop you from receiving supernatural provision. It can stop you from finding your partner in life. It can stop you entering into church life and entering into the fullness of your call. This is why the Apostle Paul prayed. He said, "Be renewed in your thinking by the Word of God." So our mind needs to be renewed. But something has got to happen. It's got to be the Word and it's got to be the Spirit. There's two dimensions to renewing your mind. So you can read the Bible, memorize it from front to cover, but still not have your mind renewed. So something's got to happen. Now, Paul had his mind renewed. This is right. Do you know what? People memorize the whole Bible and aren't even born again. They come knocking on your door on Saturday morning. We've got to find God in all this. Now, what happened? There was a man named Paul in Acts chapter 9, and he was on the road to Damascus, and he had a supernatural encounter. And I just want to bring this word this morning so you can begin to open your mind to the new. Because if we don't, we get stuck. And the Word of God comes, and we can't because our mind has not been renewed, because we're thinking Nigerian. We're thinking Sudanese. We're thinking Chinese. We're thinking Australian. We can be thinking Aboriginal. And all these things are boundaries, limitations that have been put around our mind. Now, some of you are sort of looking at me in a Nigerian kind of way. And thinking, what on earth is this man talking about? And I tell you what, it is purely natural. But we have got to become purely supernatural. Is that right? Yes. Amen. Amen. So this is what happened. Paul is the persecutor of the church. He is releasing hell literally against the church. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul's writing. He says, verse 2, he says, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or whether out of the body I do not know, only God knows, such a one was caught up into the third heaven." Say that, third heaven. He was just a man, but he had an encounter with God and God called him up into the third heaven. "And I know such a man, whether in the body or not, God knows." Verse 4, "how he was caught up into paradise." Say paradise. "And he heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool. For I will speak the truth, but I will refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me." Now this is an amazing thing that happened to this man. Paul, the persecutor of the church, and I pray that he doesn't have to do this to me and you, knock me off my horse, pedestal, or whatever it is. But God had a special plan for this man. And what happened, if I can just demonstrate it for you this morning, is that something happened that began to reposition him, where Paul was relocated from the planet Earth to the third heaven. It was a spiritual repositioning that was so real to Paul that he didn't even know whether it was his whole body went there or whether his body stayed down there. It was like God came along and hit him. And he became repositioned so that he began to see. Now, it's literally like this. I best leave this here in case I create feedback, but I am going to the third heaven. So in this vision, what happens down here, right down on the earth, we are human people walking on the earth. We're the sons and daughters of men, and we are walking in the natural realm. Now, what educates us and what trains us? Our schools, our parents, our culture, you know, the history that we're being raised up, the people around us that we meet are training us and making us what we are. And this is a natural man. Now, God has to do something to this man, Paul, because God has called Paul. His name is actually Saul, but he gives him a new name because he is giving him a new nature, because he is giving him a new position, because he is giving him a new ministry, because he is commissioning him for a new work. Something happened. It was a total, radical realignment, re-education, repositioning, and revealing revelation in a moment. God called him up into the third heaven, and I believe that what Paul saw, he said, I heard words that were illegal for me to speak. I could not repeat those words because he saw something up there that has not been seen by any man. And he was able, I believe that what Paul could see in there is called into the spirit realm, and he saw the past. He saw the past right back from the beginning, and maybe even before the beginning, he saw it. But he saw the cross, and he understood the cross. But then again, he saw the future. He saw the church, he saw the repositioning of the church, he saw the potential of the church, he saw the purpose of the church, and he became connected with the wisdom of God in such a way that no man has ever been connected. And this is what happened. Paul saw this. He saw the eternal purpose of the church. He saw outside of time and space. He doesn't even know whether it is in his body or not. It was such a powerful experience that the Apostle Paul had. And he saw the new creation man. He saw your potential. He saw Pastor Shay and Mopi and their family. He saw them in Kano, Nigeria, being harassed. He saw it. It was like he was looking forward and he could see the whole purpose of the church. He literally saw what Jesus was seeing. That's how I understand it. Now he is saying, church, you need to come up to where I am. And he began to write the epistles. And he says this, blessed is every, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are blessed there. But the reality is we live here. Have you ever experienced sickness? Put your hand up. Have you ever experienced doubt and fear? Have you ever experienced bullying? Have you ever experienced rejection? Have you ever experienced emotional pain? Depression, all these things. These are all the things that we experience in the natural realm. They are real things that real people experience. But here, Paul gives the church a revelation, and he says, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So where's the answer to our prayers? In the heavenly places. Where are we? On the earth. Where's the answer to our prayer? In the heavenly places. And this is the problem that humans have. This is the problem that you have. This is the problem that I have. Where is the salvation of my family? In the... Where is a healthy, healed nervous system? Where is a healthy, healed heart? Where is mental well-being and emotional well-being? Everything is in the heavenly places. It says, It does not say that you are blessed with most of the blessings you need in the heavenly places. You are blessed with every blessing in the heavenly places. And see, we need to understand the heavenly places because he was caught up into the third heaven. So the first heaven is the realm that we walk in. It is the natural realm. It's where we put our feet. And you know what? God put us here on this earth for a purpose. He put Adam here because do you know that the devil had made this his domain? And the reason that God put you here is because you are God's battle plan. You are not here just to love the football and go dancing on Saturday night and eat pizza and have Coke. You are not here to work for 40 years for someone that wants to all your life and pay you $55,000 miserable dollars a year, and then you retire on the beach and die. That is not your purpose on earth. Do you know you are man? God made man. He made man, female and male. Doesn't matter which one comes first. Doesn't matter. We're all in this together. But do you know the word man comes from the word mandate? And when God put Adam on the earth, he gave him a mandate. And when he put you here, there is a mandate for you. And you can go through life, just living life, a natural life, thinking natural thoughts. And you might even struggle into heaven. Or you can discover your mandate. Now, where is it? It is in the heavenly places. So somebody's got to begin to make a connection with the heavenly places. Now, the Apostle Paul, he came back into his body on planet Earth and he began to walk as a man, began to walk with a different nature, different mindset, different way of thinking. And he, like most pastors, would have had frustration because he had been there and he'd seen history, he'd seen the future. He began to understand what the purpose of the church is. Do you know what? Most people have not got a clue what the purpose of church is. I thought I knew what the purpose was, and then about 2004, I heard Pastor Beccari at the conference say, "What is church?" I went home, I didn't have a clue what church was. But do you know what? Part of church is we gather together. We gather together so we can access the heavenly realm. Huh. Who accessed the heavenly realm this morning? Yeah, some did. And that's about right. That's about right. Many people will go to church all around the world and think, and you'd still think, what is this guy talking about, the heavenly places? Because see what happened is Paul got caught up there in a moment, and then for the rest of his life on planet Earth, he was trying to explain to people like you and me what happened. And some of us just don't get it. Some of you have not got any idea. What? I never knew there was a heavenly place. Did you know there was a heavenly place? Some of us are still thinking, I wonder if there really is life after death. You know, I tell you, we go through all this stuff. Now, Paul understood. And he prayed a prayer, and it's in Ephesians. Ephesians, chapter 1. That means you're going to get it. Say to the person next, you are going to get it. Oh boy, what am I going to get? All right. Now listen to this. This is Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15. It says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus And your love for all the saints do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power working towards us who believe, which he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So when Jesus died, his body went into the tomb on the earth. Our body goes into the earth when we die. But the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead raised him from this position, even took him lower so that he could preach the gospel to the saints who lived pre-Christ, set them free, and then he came and he walked on the earth as the risen Christ, and he ascended into the... where? He ascended into the... heavenly places, and it is seated at the right hand of the Father. Now the Bible says that you are saved by grace, and now you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. So Paul, he experienced this so real, it was so real to him, he thought, it felt like my body was there. He must have, because he said, I don't know whether my body went or not. So he's walking around in the heavenly places. How cool would that be to be walking around in the heavenly places going, this is so real. And it's like you can see everywhere and know everything. This is what he describes when he comes back. He says, it's almost illegal to speak some of the things I heard there. Because maybe he might have heard about you and me and some of the naughty things we did and didn't want to blow the whistle on us before we were even born. I don't know. But it was wild. Now what happens, we've been talking about apostolic grace. Because the grace of an apostle, you know, when somebody is called to be an apostle, they are called to be a ministry not like Paul, but resembling that. And they are a connecting ministry, because people who are called apostolically are sort of like Paul. They've been somewhere, they've experienced God, and they keep saying, come on guys, you can come up here. Now we need to be able to respond to that grace, because Noah was like that. He experienced God. God showed him, put a pattern on him to build an ark. I often think of this, I think it's really amazing, you know, build me an ark, because it's going to rain. Well, there's two questions I would ask. First, what is rain and what's an ark? It's a fair question, isn't it? There's never been rain. So this is where we've got to allow God to realign our mind and our thinking, because in this day, God is saving the best to last. Yes. God is going to do the greatest things in this era ahead. The body of Christ is going to rise in an incredible unity with an incredible purpose. You know, with healing and with deliverance and with a message to bring the church to fulfillment. The church began with an apostolic age, the ministry of apostles. Do you know what? I believe that at the end of the church age, it's just going to be the same, except in every nation on the earth. God's going to raise his men. He's going to raise his women. He's going to raise, you know, it's got nothing to do with age. It might be kids that are 7 or 8 years of age that God calls them up to this place and he puts something in their hands to change the nations. It's got to happen. And it's what we're praying for. The Bible says, behold, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. So Paul was flesh. What he was doing was in the flesh. He thought he was pleasing God in the flesh. He was devoted. He was religious. He was zealous. But he was doing it in the flesh. Yes. Then God called him up into the heavenly places. And he began to reposition his whole thinking. Do you know what? I just want to explain this so we can catch up because we haven't got long. Firstly, in Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about saving grace. Yes. And in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says that he is an apostle by the grace of God. So we need to be able to access the grace, because in every generation, God has his men. In Genesis, He had Abraham, he had Joseph. And Joseph is a picture of this, because in the prison, God was giving him a revelation. God was making his man in the prison. And then God raised him to lead the nation. In Daniel, God, same thing. God raised Daniel from the lion's den. He raised him, you know, from a death sentence to rule over Babylon. This is apostolic grace. It's the empowering grace that comes on a man, a woman, a church, and begins to raise them. There's a couple of things I said about this on Friday night, because this is sort of a little bit different this week, because firstly, what apostolic grace is, grace means unmerited favor. And it is the supernatural divine enablement that comes on a man. So Paul is here, walking about on the earth, doing what he was believing, serving God. Do you know a lot of people are doing that today? And they're in Mormon churches. They're in Jehovah's Witness churches. They're in Anglican churches and Catholic churches and every other church. They're in Hindus, Muslims, and all these men and women all over the earth are devoutly serving God, they believe. Some of them will even get involved in such occultic violence, and they believe that they are serving God. But something has got to happen where heaven becomes revealed to them, just like it happened to Paul. And for this reason, God called Paul. And for this reason, God is calling Father's House, Christ Church, Father's House. For this reason, God's calling your pastors. And for this reason, God is calling you. Because he is relocating the church into the heavenlies. And in Ephesians chapter 4, it says God's put in the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. This is the fivefold ministry. And we need to understand this. And if we can understand it, God can literally reposition us. Because see, men like this are very rare. They are very rare. God trained him in the school of the Spirit in Kano, in northern Nigeria, where it was a real risk for this family just to be there. And this is the school of the Spirit that God trained this man in. And then God brought him here as a gift to the church, as an apostolic father in the house. This is the Father's house. We know who the Father is. It is our Father in heaven. But I also want you to know that there is a Father in the house, an apostolic Father, and he has a job. And his job is to connect you. You know, do you know that there are the fivefold ministry? My daughter is a chiropractor, learning to be a chiropractor. They tell me that in the back of the neck here, there are five major bones that join the head to the body. I think this is an amazing thing, because on earth is the body of Christ. And in heaven is the head, Jesus Christ. But in the church is the fivefold ministry that joins the body to the head. Do you find that amazing? This is why you need to treat your pastors and prophets that come and particularly this man, this woman, their family, you need to treat them because they are the gift that connects the head to the body. And you know, all over the world there are dumb people saying dumb things like, I can just stay home and watch Joyce Meyer and send a TV gift everywhere and that's enough. That is dumb. That is people who are not connected. That is rebellious, independent Christianity. And it's people who are a total disconnect. So we need to get into the body. Do you know what? Yesterday, I'd done this. I'd pulled my shoulder like that, hyperextended it, and it sort of popped a little bit. And it's been really painful for about two months nearly. Anyhow, Renee and my neck, really bad. Anyhow, she put me on the table yesterday and she leant on me and crack, crack, crack. Got off and, oh, thank you, Jesus. Everything is just in alignment again. Do you know what? It's what God's got to do in the church. It's what God's got to do in the church. There needs to be a realignment. There needs to be a repositioning. There needs to be a reconnecting. Haka Shapa Hore Saba Boko Sabateo. Now, if that just didn't stir you then, if you didn't feel it, you are a total disconnect. Suck. This is right.
Yes.
Wow, those lights, they work because they're connected. They're lined up. They're set to the frequency. They are, you know, I don't understand electrical currents and all that, but there is principles and laws that must be followed to the exact frequency, because if you're not, you blow the fuse.
Yes.
You blow the lights. You start fires. That's why the world's in a mess. Because the church needs to visit a chiropractor, being Jesus. Cool. Some of you are looking at me so funny. It's sort of, I don't know whether it's a, you know, a Sudanese look, a Nigerian look, an Aussie look. Saka, Subo, Rika, Saba, Ribolo, Masate. What's that mean? And why does he do that? I tell you what, because the Apostle Paul, This is literally what happened. He went up into the heavens. He experienced it. He felt it. He smelt it. He was there with Jesus. Is this right? But then he came back to the earth, back onto the earth, back with you and me, back with negative, fearful, unbelieving Christians, Corinthians. Ephesians, oh, the Corinthians, they were terrible. They would sleep with anyone, do anything. And, you know, when they got into church, they were so super spiritual. They all wanted to pray in tongues. They all wanted to look good in church. They all wanted to fool everyone. But Paul said, hey, I know, with one bloke's living with his mother. The church was a mess. That must have been absolutely terrible for a guy who'd gone up to the heavens and seen everything and knew everything and had to come down to earth and pass to this bunch. So you're not too bad. I thought I'd better say something nice to you this morning. But this is what happened to Paul. Now, Paul prayed in tongues. Do you know why? Because when Paul was in heaven, he said, I heard words that could not be repeated on the earth. I heard things that were not legal to say. So when he spoke in tongues, he began to speak in the language that he had heard in the heavens, and it took him straight back in there. And that's why you got to pray in tongues. And that's why in church, when you pray in tongues, some people just look at you and go, I was born on a farm, and that's how the cows used to look at the gate. But when you pray in tongues, you're going back into the heavens. Shaka, Bora, Sala. Hey. That's why in the prayer meeting out there, your pastor's walking across the front going, Shaka, Burama, Saka, Laba, Soko. And that's why you're going. Like those clowns at the fair. Come on, we need to get up. We need to go. We need to become part. Join the grace. Receive the grace. Hoka basa teo. Oh, yes, I tell you what, God's going to straighten out some bodies in the time ahead. He's going to straighten out some minds ahead. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. He'd been there, but when he came back to the earth and he used to listen to the negativity and the small-mindedness of the church, he would pray in tongues. And some of you guys don't even pray in tongues. Because it doesn't fit with your paradigm. Shaka, Busu, Bula, Haka. I like this jacket. I've got to take it off though. Thank you, sir. So what is the apostolic grace? We need the grace. Say this, we need the grace. We need saving grace. We need the grace to change and grow and develop. We need the grace to finish the assignment. We need apostolic grace. Because Paul said, I am an apostle by the grace of God. And in the church, Ephesians 4, the fivefold ministry of there are to connect the two. So sometimes if you don't understand, it is because you're being pulled up into a new realm. And in this season ahead, God is going to reposition the church. The church is going to come alive. And there's a great capacity in you to become alive. But I believe that pastor has been dealing with an obstacle. And it's called natural mindedness. And you'd never would have thought that that would happen in, you know, African people. But it does. You would never think it would happen in Papua New Guinean people, but it does. You would think that it would happen in Aussies though. And it does. What is apostolic grace? We said on Friday night, firstly, it's the grace that is makes the natural, it moves things from the natural to the supernatural. See, because Paul walked on the earth in the natural. But then when God repositioned him into the heavenlies, every spiritual blessing was there. So when the apostolic grace is released on the church, normal believers that have allowed God to work in them, begin to experience life from the heavenlies. It's where we need to connect to the grace, connect to apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers. The only teachers I really like to connect to are ones that are really genuinely apostolic. Ones that are really baptized in the Holy Spirit. So it moves the church from the natural to the supernatural. It's supernatural divine enablement. Number two, it comes on a man or a church. You know, Noah found favor. And God called Noah and he says, you're my man. It came on Joseph. He called Joseph and God, through a process of 14 years, made Joseph to be the ruler of Egypt. It came on Daniel. When he was under persecution, in prison, in the lion's den, the apostolic, supernatural, divine enablement of God comes upon him. The ability to interpret dreams is supernatural. It comes on the man. It comes on the church. See, when God begins to raise up a spiritual father, the father begins to raise up and begins to impart. And this is why we need to connect. Otherwise, it's just us going to church. Number three, it elevates the man. so that he takes his position. You know, this apostolic grace is an elevating grace. It's an elevating grace. Firstly, we've got to come low to receive it. So in Philippians 2:5, Jesus humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death. He humbled himself. He went right down to the lowest place. He made himself there, and from there God elevated him. You know, sometimes when there's no elevation in our life, it is because there has been no bringing ourselves low, no emptying of ourselves. So John the Baptist, he said, I've got to become less, he's got to become more. It's elevating. The Apostle Paul said, I press in. You know, I press toward the goal of the, what's it say? Upward call. God's calling us upward. The devil wants to bring you low, make you low, make you debase, imprison you, destroy you. That is literally what he's doing to Western society. And Western society, it is come on in. And this is what the enemy does. He wants to bring us down. But when we, you know, when we, as sons and daughters of God, offer ourselves to God, there is an elevating grace that comes upon us. And God begins to reposition. Joseph was repositioned from the prison to the palace. Daniel was repositioned to be the ruler over Babylon from the lion's den. Number four. When the apostolic grace comes on a man, a church, a community, the church begins to rise. Say this, the church begins to rise in the spirit, and it begins to dismantle the principalities and powers. Shuka, baso, robo, saki, isn't that good news? God is enabling grace comes on first a man by calling and by the response of the man's life. The supernatural divine enablement comes on that man, and God begins to elevate him and begins to reposition him. Do you know what? Paul, when he walked on the earth, was walking in the devil's domain, doing the devil's work, persecuting the church. But then God repositioned him and he looked down on the spirit realm. First, heaven is where the enemy is. The prince of the power of the air is in the second realm. The principalities and the powers are in the second realm. The power of the air. That's the first heaven. Second realm is where the principalities and powers are. Third heaven is where Paul went. With Jesus, he and Jesus are having a conversation there saying, Paul, if we are genuinely in partnership, we can do this. We can take this devil out. And the church, when it was birthed at the book of Acts, God planned a global church that would bring the devil into total submission. That's your purpose. You like that?
Yes.
So you've got to be realigned with that thought. A global church. A church that is genuine, connected. The body of Christ. Connected by apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, but led by Christ. From the heavenly places. It's on earth, but it's connected into the heavens. So is this okay?
Yes.
Helps you understand, doesn't it? And as we make this connection, we walk on earth, but my mind and my heart is connected into the heavenly places. And when I'm connected like this, I walk by and things begin to react around me because I am connected with someone. Do you know what we were talking about this just a little while ago, that I went to a business function in Melbourne about 20 years ago, with non-Christian business people from our community, and this woman walked up to me and said, "Who do you think you are? Do you think you are the spiritual leader of Gippsland?" 20 years ago this happened. Why did that happen? She didn't know where I was from. Because, see, the devil knows the call. Now, I'm not saying I'm the only spiritual leader down there. I'm not saying that. But I tell you, the devil knows your future. And while he can sit you in church, and while he can keep you disconnected, he doesn't have anything to fear. But when you become connected with your man, when you become connected with his heart, his vision, when you become connected with his revelation, wow. Now I'll tell you how I know who he is. It's a man down the back who a couple of years ago was on life support in hospital. Everyone's called in and said, "Come and say your goodbyes." The only thing that can turn that around is apostolic authority. So we've got to get connected. We've got to know what we've got. We've got to know what we've got. Our heart should be, "Pastor, what is in your heart? How can I help you with this assignment?" But if we see him as a pastor, we sort of go, "Pastor, I don't feel good. Come and visit me." It's sort of wrong, isn't it? How can I help you? Number 5, every limitation is broken. We are limited here. We are restricted here. But in heaven, there is no limitation. There are no boundaries. It's like we are walking on the earth and we go, "Well, God, I don't know how you're going to provide for me in this new season." But because we are connected to Jehovah Jireh in the, where is he? Heavenly places, I walk on the earth and provision supernaturally comes to me. Resources naturally come to me, not when I want them. It never comes when you want. It's always 2 days later. Just so God lets you know who the source is. But see, the trouble with people in the West is they all are their own source. Well, in the next 3 years, it would pay to know Jehovah Jireh as your source, because it's all going to change. Every limitation will be broken. Every boundary will be crossed. We will come into a day where everybody will be straightened up by the power of God. Every believing person will be set free and healed. It's coming, amen? Rasa, Soko, Reba, Shira. I tell you, it's increasing in the earth. It's increasing even in this house, I believe. I believe it's happening. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every boundary. Yeah. Church, I've got a word for you. Take your place. Don't fear it. Yep, take your place, particularly in the prayer meeting. Because that's where you visit the heavenlies. We're starting to call our whole church to prayer at 6:30. We've been doing it for 6 months now. Not asking everyone to come. Just at the start, we said, "I'd love it, everyone to come," but each week, more and more people. This week, a journalist from the TV station rung and said, "Can I come to your church?" Several others that have been out of church for a while have said, you know, one of Anita's friends just rung last night, a school friend, said, "My marriage has collapsed and wants it rescued." Anita said, "Well, consider God," and he said, "I'll come." You know, all these things begin to happen when we start to connect properly. Do you know, one of the reasons nothing happens is we're just not connected to the right source. This is how the grace comes. Do you know, the way God made it is the grace comes to you from heaven through an anointed vessel, a called vessel. I've never seen it any different. But you know, so many people, because they're hurt or because they misunderstand, they've been discipled wrongly, have chosen another way. And what we've got to do is we've got to go,
What can I do? Elijah did this, Elisha and Elijah. The principle is there. Paul and Timothy, Moses, Joshua. One generation to the other, that's how God works. Which is the next point, number six. The grace to raise another generation is the apostolic grace. You know, the grace to raise another generation. We need to allow ourselves to be raised. And, you know, we can't violate God's authority because God raises the man in the house. We might think, well, I'm better than him. I'll just go and do it my way. Some people that are very close to me have been doing that. I'll do it my way. I am better than you. I know more than you do. I can preach better than you. But there's no grace. Humble yourself. God gives grace to the humble. God gives grace. That's how you receive. This is how it works. It just is supernatural. The more you align yourself with the man, with the Father that God's placed over your life, you're out here, you'll be blessed. You know, some people go right out, they're right out there and right out there, and they're criticizing their father. They get right out into the dark. And out there in the dark, they think he wasn't such a bad father. And they try and find their way back into the house. Align yourself. Align yourself. And you, all of a sudden, in that place of alignment where you're aligning under heaven, so that line up there. Now let's say this light represents alignment. And you've got to position yourself and go, come on. Now it's a demonstration of what spiritual positioning looks like. And in that place, do you know what Jesus did? Exactly that. Jesus brought himself under a heavenly portal and the heavens opened over him. At the River Jordan. He came down there. He wouldn't have, you know, I don't even know whether he was thinking about that, but God had called him to come to the river. And he comes and John the Baptist says, I am not going to baptize you. I'm not even fit to baptize you. And Jesus says, it's fitting for me to fulfill all obedience. And when he got under there, the heavens opened. The heavenly places touched earth. There's a voice that says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And all of a sudden the devil knew who Jesus was. And followed him all the way around the wilderness. Does the devil know who you are? When you begin to align yourself with heaven, he'll pay you some attention. Because up until then, you're filling a seat. But we were never called to fill a seat. We were called to be men and women who know how to open the heavens. So that all sorts of miracles, supernatural provision can happen. And it's coming. Amen. Amen? You like that? I'm just thinking of you and the condition in your body. I don't know. But I just believe that in your day you'll be a sign and a wonder. Amen? Amen? I don't want to give you false hope. Do you know what? When we line ourselves up with heaven, amen. Why don't we just stand and pray for her right now? I believe for you. I believe for you. Come on. This is not going to take. And come on.
receive and you visit the heavenlies just day by day. Day by day. Father, I pray for them both. I pray for supernatural grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, a miracle in this body. Amen. It's going to come for you. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And you can't strive for it. You just got to receive. And align and relax and take it easy. And each day you just get a little better. Amen. Father, I just address the demon powers that have held her back. I address them. And I just command them to release. Don't let pressure, don't strive at all, and don't let anything come against your mind. Just really relax, because this is such a God thing. Amen. Amen. Day by day, day by day. Amen. You got more of him than you know. You already have. Yep. Yep. Amen. Well, I'm going to be praying for you. What's your name?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, I'm going to pray for you every day with our church. Amen. Amen. And this man Joe and Elizabeth. Beautiful people. Every day I'm going to pray for you in the name of Jesus. I believe these are the signs and wonders we're going to see. Amen. Our God will not give people like this false hope. And this is why all of us have got to rise up. You know, why couldn't we all, every morning so that Elizabeth doesn't have to accept the pressure. Why couldn't we all get up and pray for her in tongues for half an hour and fight that thing? Then she doesn't have to feel any tension at all. She doesn't have to get healed. It's just our love moving towards her. Amen. I just believe all this stuff's going to happen.
Amen.
Amen. Really good to meet you. I'll be praying for you. Our church will be. In fact, all of Gippsland will be. We'll get them all going because you're going to be a sign and wonder.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So if you feel stress in your body, right? Amen. That's what the church is meant to be, hey? Can we all just, as time goes by, just say, I'm going to pray for Elizabeth and Joe, and we're just going to pray. And don't even put pressure on her to be healed. Don't feel like you've got to lay hands on her. You pray in the Spirit till this thing shifts. Amen? Because you'll tire her if you all want to pray for her every Sunday morning and that. You just love her. But when we pray for that to shift. And this is good practice because one of the things in praying in tongues, I love it, don't I, Lynn? And I pray loud and strong. And when I'm praying for something, I pray until I feel it shift. And when that happens, when you pray and you feel things shift, you know that God's answered. See, most of us don't go there. But the day is coming where we've got to. Amen. So bless you. Bless you. Bless Pastor. Father, I thank you for this new era. This new era we're moving into. New era where double grace is being released upon our leaders, Father. Upon our man. This man. Wow. Wow. You're going to feel the shift of answered prayer. Because there's been that struggle, but we're entering into a season now where prayer is, there's not every prayer is going to be answered straight away, but there's going to be a marked increase in the house where prayers are answered. In Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you that we've got a prophet in the house. Father, I thank you for the fire, the prophetic. It's not like the prophetic that foretells the future necessarily, although there's that aspect of it. But in you, there is sort of there is a prophetic dimension that causes people to line up. There's a lot of love. It's a real mother. And there's a real straightness. This is just a safe place. You could not be in a safer place than here. Father, we just bless them. We bless the mother and father of the house. We bless the leaders of the house. We bless the sons and daughters of the house. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm done.